Hello and welcome back to another episode of Finally Following God's Law, episode number three. This is episode number three of Finally Following God's Law, season number two. You know, I really hope you have been enjoying these teachings, not of mine. These teachings only come from the Lord. There's only one teacher, and that is Yeshua, that is our Lord. He is the only teacher, His Holy Spirit. And so we are just mere vessels. So I just hope that you are learning a little bit of something as I've been bringing you the basic instructions before leaving Earth. Bible, I've been bringing you the Bible, the Torah, His commandments, His calendar, and, you know, just lightly going over the surface, you know, not getting too confusing, keeping it simple as I could, because there it does go in depth, okay? And it goes deeper and deeper, okay? You know, we never figure out the fullness of God. I mean, come on, you know, He's too vast, you know, the universe and everything that He created, the anatomy of human beings, it's just so much that you can learn. We never stop learning. And but I hope that you've been learning a little bit of something as I've been trying to convey this message to those who may be coming to the faith, barely believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or even those that have been in the faith for a long time, but they've been, there was a disconnection. And so if you're not used to these teachings or these commandments, these beautiful commandments and laws of God, it's just these instructions, okay, then this is for you. You know, I'm barely going over the surface, hopefully to convey and make it clearly understood, just the wonderful, radiant, beautiful ways of the Lord. That's including His calendar, His ways, His beautiful Moedim, which means divine appointments, His feast days, His holy days. It's just a blessing. And today we're going to go through something you might not have heard of, okay? After the resurrection, there's actually an Omer count. He wanted us, it's a commandment. It's not a feast day, okay? It's not a Moedim, but it is a commandment. You can find it in Leviticus chapter 23. He commanded us to count the Omer from the day after the Sabbath to start that day and just count all the way till Shavuot, okay? We know what happened on Shavuot. That was that was Pentecost. That's when He left us His Comforter, His Holy Spirit. And so He did many things He did. He showed Himself to many, and He just did absolutely, that's why He stood around for a while. That's why after He was resurrected and the tomb was empty, He didn't just go and be at the right hand of the Father. He actually showed Himself and talked to the disciples, showed Himself to many to prove that He was alive, that He died upon that cross, and the tomb was empty, and to prove that He was alive, and He still is alive today. Jesus Christ is alive. He is not dead, okay? He is not dead. He didn't stay dead. He resurrected on the third day. And so He stood around for this amount of days, and to lo and behold, now that we see the counting of the Omer, why it was commanded, and we still celebrate it. We still count the days after Passover, after first fruits, okay? That is the following after Shabbat, okay? When He rose from the dead, that's first fruits. We still count those days, still to today, because it's a commanded. It's a commandment by the Lord. And so, lo and behold, though, it came to pass. Why? They were actually counting the Omer for that many days, 49 days and the 50th day being Pentecost, okay? And so it is just a true blessing to find out why. And He showed us, and I got so many scriptures I got to go through today. So let me just, you know, I'm already getting ahead of myself, but let me just go ahead and present this presentation to you. And hopefully I can do it in a simple manner. So we're going to be going through Shavuot, which is Pentecost, okay? And we're also going through the count of the Omer, which starts as soon as the first fruits. You can call it Resurrection Day, but on that day, we start counting the Omer, okay? We start counting the Omer, and it's just a blessing. It's a time to reflect. It's a time of purification. He's done wonders in my life, you know, in that period of time. When I found out about this, I started counting the Omer. I started praying every day, checking off the calendar every day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to Pentecost. And He left us His Holy Spirit. So I hope you enjoy this. You know, I just want to shout out to my family, my mom. You know, I know that might sound corny, but I love my mom. Okay. And so she's been watching these videos and she's been learning a thing or two. And so has my family. So a shout out to my beloved family, my brother, my sister, all my beloved family. They've been watching, they've been learning. And so it's just amazing what God's holy word can do, his Bible. Okay. These instructions, they're so beautiful and full of love, okay? And so without further ado, let's go ahead and get on this so I don't make it too long of a video. It might go over an hour, okay? I got plenty of scripture for you to prove all these things. I'm not trying to prove it to you. The word of God will prove it itself. It's all scriptures, okay? And so I'm just a messenger. That's all I am, okay? I am just a messenger, a vessel that he uses to convey my mouthpiece, my mouth, okay, to bring you the word of God, okay? So here we go once again, okay? Let me get to that screen, and let me just get to that screen. Okay, here we go. All right, so finally following God's law, or Torah. That's what law means, Torah. Well, actually, Torah means instructions, okay? And so we went over this in my last video. And so if you don't like the word law, it sounds kind of harsh, but it is actually in some translations, it does say his law, okay? So if you don't like that harsh word of law, actually, law, it means Torah, okay? The first five books of Moses, and actually it just means instructions, his instructions. So I always show this one right here, this right here, I show it to you. And let me change this. And let me go ahead and get into a different view here. All right. Let me get into a different view here. That's much better. Okay. There we go. So we get into the view so you can read the whole screen. So Bible. Okay. Bible. I always like saying this. It's an acrostic, meaning that the first letters of the word Bible, you can break it down. It's just an old acrostic, you know, it's not found in the Bible. Okay. Just if you want to get technical, but it was just an acrostic somebody made this up. Okay. Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay. If you haven't heard this, maybe you're a youngster, or if you're older like me, you probably have heard it. You know, I used to hear this and I was like, wow, you know, I found it amazing because we know the Bible's about instructions, okay? But I never realized it till not too long ago that the Torah actually means instructions in Hebrew. Torah means instructions, okay? So then it made all sorts of sense. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. I really like that one. That's why I always show it. And so we'll go to the next slide. And I just wanted to mention the day before yesterday was Rosh Kodesh, okay? Happy Rosh Kodesh. And you're like, what is Rosh Kodesh? Well, it's the new month on the Hebrew calendar. You're like, wait a minute, it's not the first of the month yet. No, you know, I'm not making a mistake here, okay? Shavuot on the Hebrew calendar. Remember, if you want to know the events and what they mean, these holy feast days of his and how very important they are. He spoke them, okay? Man did not put them there. He spoke them out of his mouth. He commanded us to follow his holy days, his feast days, as written in Leviticus chapter 23, okay? First being his Sabbath. Well, anyhow, he also, there's scripture that's saying that he commanded us also to celebrate the new moon, the new month. It's just amazing. It's beautiful. The two great witnesses in the sky, the sliver in the sky, the new moon, as it approaches, you can look up in the sky and you can know it's a brand new month. And this is how they told time. This is how they knew, and it still goes on today. At this time, you could go outside and you'll see that little sliver in the moon, and that means it's a brand new month on whose calendar? On God's calendar. We know the Gregorian calendar, we need it, for dentist appointments, doctor's appointments, whatnot, because it has become the universal calendar, okay? But when it's on God's timetable, his events, okay, it's very important to know these beautiful things that he laid out for us, appointed day that he meets with us on these holy days. It's just beautiful. So when it prefers to God's events, okay, the things that have happened, we always go by his calendar, even through the prophets, those days that were prophesied in the book of Daniel. It all goes by his timing, his calendar, ever since creation. He invented the first 7 days. Remember that. So we always, if you want to know this and understand when his events happen, don't go by man-made religions or man-made holidays. Go by God's appointed feast days, and you'll learn so much, okay? And so, happy Rosh Kodesh. This means new month. So day before yesterday, when this airs, it's actually Shavuot 2, but day before yesterday, today is Shavuot 3, okay? The third of Shavuot. We barely started a new month on God's calendar, okay? 5,783, 5783 is the year. You're like, no, it isn't. It's 2023. What are you talking about? No, I'm talking about from the creation of Adam and Eve, from the creation. You could call it the creation calendar, the civil calendar, however you want to call it. It's God's calendar from creation, from Adam and Eve until now, 5783, okay? We're going to be getting into more depth how that works, how it began, how do we know that's accurate, okay? And so we're going to be getting into that in other episodes, but I could rest assured that it is accurate, okay? Maybe a few years here and there, but I truly have faith that date right there is accurate, okay? And there's reason to believe that. I will be bringing you that someday, okay? Why I believe it's so accurate. So anyhow, I could just tell you right now, just really briefly, okay, it was a commandment to count the Jubilee cycles, to count the weeks of seven, not only the weeks of 7 days, but 7 year sabbatical years. Every 7 years it was commanded to actually keep count. So I believe Noah had that count. He had that count accurate. And then when he landed off the ark, it continued, okay, until today, okay? So that was just briefly, okay? So it was commanded. We know Noah was righteous. That's why he was chosen, because he followed the Lord's ways. He was on the Lord's calendar. And so he understood all these things, and he was commanded to keep track of time ever since Adam and Eve, okay? And so this is why we could rest assured that this is accurate, okay? So that was just brief. I got so much to go through. Sometimes I start getting into things. My mind, you know, the Spirit of God is so amazing. He just goes and goes, right? So let me just take it down a bit, okay? And so I don't start talking too fast, okay? So today is Shavuot 3, okay? The third of Shavuot, 5783 on God's calendar. January 25th, 2023 on your Gregorian calendar. Okay, so it's a celebration. It's a new month. It's a brand new month. Okay, we got things to look forward to. If you had a bad month last month, then maybe, well, we hope that you have a better one this month. Okay, and so it's just amazing. We got like a brand new slate, a brand new month. And the Lord says, rejoice, rejoice. He gives us a brand new month. Rejoice. Celebrate this day, okay? Blow the trumpets if you have shofars. Blow them. Rejoice. It's a day of celebration. Just amazing. This is why I'm saying, why wouldn't you want to celebrate these things? We celebrate the Sabbath day every week, and then every month he has another celebration for us. For those who love celebrating, just celebrate every month with the Lord, amen? It's just amazing. So, happy Rosh Kodesh, okay? All right, so, like I was saying, This is the little calendar that I made myself. So I hope you, it's not too corny. I tried my best. Okay. And so, here's the, it's the 25th right there on God's calendar. Now this is the Gregorian calendar mixed. Okay. With just to, so you'll understand it. Actually, right here, we got Wednesday. This is when this is airing. This is when it's airing, actually. So we got Wednesday. Right here is the 25th. So day before yesterday was Rosh Kodesh, which means new moon, okay? New month, okay? So it's Rosh Kodesh Shavat. So day before yesterday was the first of Shavat, okay? So X marks the spot. This is where we're at today. And so, yes, the 25th on your Gregorian calendar, January, or Shavat. Remember, we're speaking of God's events, his calendar. So we're sticking with his calendar. So I suggest you do also, okay? So keep track with it. Keep track, okay? We don't want to be caught off guard, okay? We want to be doing what he expects us to do and he has commanded us to do. This is why it's so very important. This is when he returns, he's going to say, where were you on all these appointed days? I appointed them for you. Where were you at? Okay. So we might as well attend them because they are wonderful. Okay. And we want to be doing what he asks us to do when he returns, to be told well and good and faithful servant. Faithful to what? Faithful to him. Faithful to his ways, his commandment, his instructions. Okay. Well done. Okay. So this is what we want to hear from the Lord. Okay. So what do we got coming up? January or 5th of Shavat. Amen. This Friday at sundown, at twilight, at sundown. Remember, if this is the first time you're watching this video, I suggest just go two videos back. And I explain all this, okay? And so you're going to have to start from episode one or else I'll be going over this every episode, okay? You're going to have to go to episode one, okay? So 5th of Shabbat, twilight. I explain why twilight, why sundown, okay? So on God's calendar, it's always at sundown. That's when a 24-hour day begins, okay? So Friday at sundown begins God's Shabbat, begins God's Sabbath. So I got right here, and this is why I made this calendar. Go over it yourself. We got other calendars I'm going to be showing you today, okay? I showed you in the last episode also, okay? So, and then all day we got our Torah portion reading, which is Bo, okay? Maybe you haven't heard Bo. I have, okay? Bo, Yeshua, Bo. Come, Lord Jesus, come, okay? So there's your, and we're going to be reading that right now. So this is calendar. So the beginning of sundown on Friday is Sabbath to tomorrow at sundown. When the day ends is at sundown on Saturday, which ends the day and a new day begins, okay? The first day of the week, okay? So there's the calendar. Let's go to the next slide. Today, we will be going over the counting of the Omer, like I said in the beginning. First fruits, a little bit of first fruits, because they all tie in together. The counting of the Omer ties in with first fruits. What is first fruits? The resurrection. What do we start at when he rose, when he resurrected, when they found the tomb empty, the Sabbath, right after the Sabbath, the next day, early in the morning? What do we go? When do we start counting the Omer? We're commanded to on the next day, starting the next day after first fruits. That's why it all ties in together. It all ties in together. Okay. So first fruits to Shavuot, the counting of the Omer. Actually, it's first fruits. Start the count of the Omer 49 days all the way to 50 days, which is Pentecost, Shavuot. So it all ties in together, okay? Or you can call it the Feast of Weeks, okay? That's another name for it, okay? That's all it is. It's another name for it, the Feast of Weeks. And that is also in Leviticus 23. We are commanded to celebrate this. And still today, why not? We are celebrating something so beautiful. You got to understand the ramifications of what happened during those 49 days. He died, and so many just say, okay, he resurrected, resurrection day, amen, praise the Lord, we went to church or whatever, and that's it. No, he didn't go sit at the right hand of the Father. He stuck around for a while, right? I said that in the beginning. So all this happened during the Omer, during the count, okay? When they actually did this, and I'm going to be reading you this scripture, they didn't really know. They were just being obedient to God's commandments, okay? And so they were counting the Omer, and actually it's just an offering, a sheaf offering of their first harvest, okay? And so when they were doing it, they didn't probably have an idea of what this was going to be. And now today we realize why that commandment, what he did during this time. Okay, so this was done every year, the counting of the Omer, because it was commanded, okay? And so, beautiful, let's get there, okay? You can call it the Feast of Weeks, or as some call it, Pentecost, okay? Pentecost, if you don't know the word or where it came from, it's Greek, penta, meaning 50. It got translated into to the Greek, and then we got 50, which is penta in the Greek, and so we got Pentecost or Pentecoste, okay? And so, but actually, it's Shavuot. It's Shavuot in the Hebrew, the original day that they celebrated. Once again, you got to know the Hebrew. You got to know God's events and why the importance of them, okay? And so, it came to pass, okay? So, here we go. But before we dive in, okay, here's this week's Torah portion reading. And then once again, the key. I explain this in every video because I have to, because if you don't understand that we have been grafted in to the vine, and the vine is the Lord, the vine is God, is Elohim, okay? He is the vine, and he raised up a people, and he gave them the name Jews, okay? Judah, from the tribe of Judah. That's where the name Jew comes from, okay? And so he gave them the name Judah, and so this is why we got Jews, or Hebrews, okay? The Hebrews. This was a people that he raised up. It's his people. He raised them up. For what? So we can be a light unto the nations. And he welcomed all Gentiles in. Okay, but when remember, we're invited into his house, we have to follow his rules. The Jews are not better than us, and we are not better than them. When we believe in Messiah, Yeshua, we're all equal. And there's scripture for that. We're all equal. They're not better than us. We're not better than them. We become one new man, okay? But we've been grafted in to God's household. God's the Father, and he expects us all to abide by his rules, by his instructions, okay? And so, hopefully that makes sense, his commandments, okay? So, here we go. To understand, you need the key first, okay? The key. Wonder to understand this wonderful biblical truth, okay? You need to understand that you've been grafted in, okay? And so this week's Torah portion, before we go ahead and read that, before we go into the key, to showing you that key, okay? We're going to go ahead and go into this week's Torah portion reading, okay? And Bo, I love this because there's a song by one of my favorites, you know, you might have heard of him, Joshua Aaron. He sings, Bo, Yeshua, Bo, come, Lord Jesus, come. Okay, and that's the day we all anticipate. We anticipate his coming. And so Bo means come, okay? And that's the name of this week's Torah portion reading, okay? So I just put here, yes, Bo, Yeshua, Bo, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Yeshua, come, okay? So here we go. There it is in the Hebrew. So here we go. This week's Torah portion reading, Bo, okay, come. From the Torah, we got Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through chapter 13, 16. And then we got from the prophets, Jeremiah chapter 46, 13 through 28. And then from the Gospel of John, we got chapter 19, 31 through 37. I want you to especially read that one. Read all of them, please. No, don't just pick that one. But it talks about the day after, okay, when they found the tomb empty. It's just amazing. It just so happens I'm sharing with God's word to you today. It's just amazing. I didn't line this up or nothing with the portion reading. It's just amazing. So I just get excited. Okay, so the Torah portion reading summary goes like this. The 15th reading, it's the 15th reading since we started in the book of Genesis. Remember, we do this all year long, okay? We read from the prophets, the Torah, the gospel. So at the end of the year, God's year, okay? And we finish at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. We start a whole new year. It's called Rosh Hashanah. By Rosh Hashanah, it's a new year on God's calendar, okay? And so we start the reading all over again. So we're now in the 15th reading, okay? We just started Exodus. We already went through Genesis. We're just starting Exodus. So the 15th reading from the Torah is named Bo, which means come. The title comes from the first words of the first verse of the reading, which say, "Then the Lord said to Moses, come to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart." Exodus chapter 10, verse 1. The portion begins by concluding the narrative of the 10 plagues, the 10th of which is the slaying of the firstborn. To avoid the plague, the Israelites are given the instructions for the Passover sacrifice and the laws of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The laws of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We went through that in the last video, okay? What is unleavened bread? Why the Feast of Unleavened Bread? If you haven't seen it, go to the video one right before this one. Pharaoh finally consents to let Israel go, okay? So such a blessing. They were let go out of bondage. The first Passover, which is commanded by the Lord, which speaks about the Lamb of God, okay, that was slain, okay? Why? First, it was told, and the first month was made by God before they left Egypt. That was the first Passover feast that they had. And we know the blood of the lamb. They killed a perfect unblemished lamb. They ate the lamb. They cooked the lamb, but it was perfect unblemished. And with the blood that they killed it, they wiped it on the doorpost so that they wouldn't die that night. And so they would be able to leave the bondage of Egypt. Okay. And so that marks it. And it's a statute. It's a commanded feast days forever. So we still do it today. And lo and behold, what happened? It came to pass. He was the Passover lamb. Okay. And then the second Passover they had, which was at the foot of Mount Sinai, which is in Jebel Allah, is just amazing. Anyhow, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's when he went into the tomb. And we're going to get to that right now. So Pharaoh finally consents to let Israel go, okay? And they leave Egypt out of bondage to freedom. This is when they were given instructions, not bondage to bondage, bondage to freedom, freedom to serve him and to obey his commandments, which are not burdensome. They're light. His yoke is not heavy, it's light. They are beautiful instructions by a wonderful father that loves us so much. He gave us these instructions. He gave the world these instructions to live by, okay? Because he loves us so very much, okay? So here we go. That's this week's Torah portion reading. And so here's that key. Here's that key, okay? And the key is to understand that we have now been grafted in, okay? That's when the new covenant started, okay? It's just so amazing. I'm going to be talking about this. You're saying, no, the new covenant doesn't come until he comes, until he returns. No, that's the completeness. That's the fruition, okay, of the new covenant. But it began already, and I got scripture for that, okay? All right, so we're going to get into that. But the key is, before you understand any of this, before you understand these beautiful feast days pertain to me and to you, even though you're not blood Jewish, native-born Jews, it belongs to you. Remember, we have been grafted into his house, okay? And we are to follow his rules, okay? There's no set of different rules for us or the Jews, okay? And so here we go. You got to understand the key. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Amen. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united, here we go, he united Jews and Gentiles into one people. Amen. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Amen. And so there's another scripture. Numbers chapter 15, verse 15 and 16. Native-born Israelites and foreigners are equal. There it is there. We're equal. They're not better than us. We're not better than them. When we come into God's household, we are the same. The same laws, the same rules, the same instructions apply to us, which are God's instructions, okay? Not man's instructions, God's instructions. Not the instructions of the Pharisees, but God's instructions, okay? I hope that makes sense to you. It says, and foreigners are equal before the Lord and are subject to the same decrees. This is a permanent law for you forever to be observed from generation to generation. The same instructions, here we go, the same instructions, the same Torah and regulations will apply both to you and to the foreigners living among you. This is us, okay? If you're not native-born Jew, okay? So you can find other scriptures that back up this scriptures. Two more, two witnesses that testify to scriptures. Exodus 12, 49, and Leviticus 24, 22, okay? Check them out. Check out those scriptures. Okay, so now then we got Ephesians 2. If that's not enough for you, we got Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, unity, together, we are his house. We live in his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit and in his kingdom here on earth when he returns. It's amazing, okay? Just simply amazing. Praise the Lord. Now, once again, so that was the key. If you're having troubles with this, if you're having troubles understanding this, that we have been grafted in, all those scriptures I just read you, that the same things apply to me and you, the same commandments, the same instructions, the same holy days apply to me and you, pray to the Lord. Tell him to open up your heart, even though the scripture just clearly tells you and you could understand it. It's simple. But if you're still struggling with that and you say, no, well, yes, you can't argue against God. Tell him to reveal these things to you, and he will reveal them to you because it's his truth. It is the truth, not my truth, not man's truth, but his truth, okay? Believe what he spoke in his Torah. Believe what Jesus Christ himself said when he walked among us, okay? And so understand this, and then it'll just open up all this wonderful blessings to you, okay? So now it says, once again, why are Lord's Moedim? Moedim means divinely appointed feast days, as you can find in Leviticus 23. Now, once again, why our Lord's Moedim, his most holy commanded appointed days, okay? So we got scripture for that still. And we got Leviticus 23, 1 through 2. Why celebrate these things? Because they are commanded, first of all, but they are permanent. They are forever, okay? They are to be lived out. Now, remember, the sacrificial system is no longer there. That's no longer there, okay, because we know the Lamb of God was sacrificed, okay, but the commandments are still there. And what happened on these days? You'll see, and you'll say, wait a minute. Oh, it does make sense. That's why we celebrate Passover, because he died for our sins. unleavened bread because he went in the tomb, and then first fruits because he resurrected. That's what they are, and they came to pass. And Shavuot, he left us his Holy Spirit. That's why we celebrate him still, amen? And so it's just amazing how they all tie in together, but you have to be on his calendar. His calendar, it's so very important, okay? His timing. So Leviticus 23, 1 through 2 says, the Lord spoke. That right there should tell you, it's not the Pharisee spoke, it's not a so-and-so said something, or David spoke, or anybody said anything. When you see right where the Lord spoke, when he says the Lord spoke, that's what you got to pay attention to, okay? That is the only doctrine that you need, is when it says the Lord spoke, okay? And so the Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations by, it says, my appointed times are these. So this is the Lord speaking. He says, say to them, say to who? The Israelites, say to us, say to the whole world, okay? The Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. And why do I say the whole world? Because he rose up, he raised up a people. He gave them his instructions, a set apart people that the Gentile nations that surrounded Israel could look at them and say, wow, he showed himself to Pharaoh, that he was powerful, that he was in charge, right? And so they could see, wait a minute, we're attracted to that. We want that. And the Lord expected all the Gentile nations to follow suit. That's why they were placed there, to follow his instructions, the whole world. Okay, so this is a time of testing. He's going to have his day. And these same laws, these instructions are going to be established here on this earth. When the governments rest upon his shoulders, he will take charge. And then you will not have a choice. You will no longer have a choice. When he resides with us here on this earth and we receive our resurrected bodies, we become priests, okay? Then there are going to be those nations that survive. They're going to have to follow suit. They're going to have to follow suit one way or the other. Okay, so this is written. So it says, the Lord spoke to Moses again, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these, okay? And that's the first verses of Leviticus 23. I suggest you go there, okay, and read it for yourself. Leviticus 23, chapter 4. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. So just to make it a little simpler, okay, the first was the Sabbath. We know he created all things in 7 days. He rested on the seventh day. So, of course, he wants us to meet with him on the last day of the week, was always on Friday evening to Saturday evening. That was the last day of the week. That's the Sabbath day. So, then man changed it, okay? But just to make it easier for you to understand, these first four, okay, feast days in Leviticus, came to pass. It's almost like he prophesied them for generation after generation after generation. They came to pass exactly on the days of these holy appointed days. They came to pass. The first four, you could say five, including the Sabbath. Okay. And so that happened. Okay. That happened. And so that's why he appointed them. And so they came to pass. And now we look back and say, oh, that's why he appointed these days, because he fulfilled them to a T. Okay. And we got the last fall feast concerning his return. Okay. Concerning his return back to us to establish the kingdom here on earth. And those are the fall feasts, which we're going to be getting into in the next episode. Okay. And so those last three have not been fulfilled, okay? I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I got those slides here, okay? And so with that, we now dive into the counting of the Omer. First fruits, to Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, or as some call it, Pentecost, okay? This is just a little bit of artwork by me, okay, digital artwork. When they took him down from the cross after being crucified, so don't laugh, you know, I did my best, okay? Maybe not my best, but I hope you enjoy it, okay? When they took him down from the cross after being crucified, that is the Passover. That is the first of the seven. There's seven each year, okay, that he has commanded us to meet with him, okay? Why? The first was fulfilled, like I just said. After being taken down off the cross, he was crucified, he died. That was Passover. He was the Passover lamb. Remember, in Exodus, the Passover lamb. It was a foreshadow. Then, number two, they placed him in a tomb, okay? He died sinless. We went over this. If you haven't, go to episode two, even one, I believe I talked about it. Unleavened, the leaven represents sin, okay? So we know he was sinless. He took the penalties of ours, of death upon the cross, okay? The penalties due to breaking his laws, he took upon himself. What a blessing, okay? He died for the sins of the world. They placed him in a tomb, sinless. That is unleavened bread, okay? Then he rose from the grave, okay? So this is Nisan. Nisan is the month. Nisan 14 is Passover. Nisan 15 is unleavened bread. Nisan 16 is resurrection, okay? This is why you got to be on his calendar. Exactly those days. He attended these feasts when he was walking with us, and actually he died, was buried, and resurrected on his feast days, okay? So then he rose from the grave, which is called first fruits, the feast of first fruits. That's the resurrection, okay? So then, from that moment, so there's a picture. He was on the cross. He went into the tomb. That's what that is right there, okay? And then he rose from the grave and was alive. And then, what does the dove represent? The Holy Spirit, okay? He left us the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So why do we count the Omer, okay? And then I put here, then we count off the Omer from the first day after when he was resurrected. We start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And actually, they would bring a grain offering each day, a grain offering, a sheaf offering, an Omer offering. We're going to get to that right now, okay? So from day one, I went to 10, 20, 30, 40 to 49. Reason being, we don't stop on 49, right? Why? Because it's complete on day 50. It's like if you stop on 49 and you say, okay, it's complete. No, it's not. Until sundown, until 49 day ends at sundown, to the minute, to the second, just like if you would go by midnight, right? It's not the next day until it hits the second hand, hits that midnight, right? Then it starts another 24-hour day. So same thing with this, but it's sundown, okay? So when that ticker goes and sundown, the sun is going down and it's gone, well, that's the ending of another day. So it would be the ending of 49, which starts what day? 50. That means complete. We're going to be going over the Jubilee count, which is 49, 50, and then we're going to be going over the sabbatical weeks of seven days and 7 years, Shemitah cycles, which is 7 years. It all plays in together, okay? This is the Lord's timing, okay? So we're going to be getting into that in future episodes. So we count 50 days to Shavuot, and it came to pass, okay? Pentecost, leaving of his Holy Spirit, the beginning of the new covenant, not the full new covenant, the beginning of the new covenant. And I'm going to be explaining that to you once again, how that is possible, okay? All right, so Leviticus chapter 23, 9 through 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you, and you gather its harvest, okay, then you shall bring in the sheaf, the omer, okay, of the first fruits. There it is there, the omer of the first fruits. Go to the harvest. What happens when you go into the harvest and you proclaim the gospel? Well, you're just hoping that somebody comes to faith, right? That somebody believes, right? This is why we go into the nations and we preach the gospel of the kingdom. We preach salvation, okay? Teaching them to obey the Lord's commandments. This is why we go in and do this, because what happens when a person believes and comes to faith? Well, automatically the Holy Spirit comes. And if that person sincerely asks the Lord into their heart and believes sincerely, he comes into their hearts. And guess what? Then the Lord resides inside your hearts. He resides inside of us, okay? And he helps us to be obedient thereafter, okay? And he teaches us, right? So this is the same thing. If you could catch it here, it says, when you enter the land, wherever you're at, which I am going to give to you, and you gather its harvest, okay? The resurrection, because what happens when a believer believes, the Holy Spirit comes in. When he dies, he goes to be in heaven, wherever that is, until the day he returns. He gathers first those who are dead in Christ, and then those who are alive that remain on earth. He gathers us together. We receive the resurrection. That is the resurrection, resurrected bodies. That's what it's talking about here, okay? Then you shall bring in the omer of the first fruits. So Yeshua, Jesus Christ, was the first to resurrect, okay? And we follow, okay? So we are the first fruits of him, okay? He was the first, okay? So we got scripture for that. So it says, of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, okay? Go over that yourself. All right, next one, the Feast of First Fruits, okay? The Feast of First Fruits. Remember, they all tie in together. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, the man, all die, okay, death, we're separated from God, right? Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. In Christ all shall be made alive. We're going to resurrect, amen? And so, for as in Adam all die, separation from God, and who crosses, who makes the bridge between us and God, okay? It was Jesus Christ on the cross, right? So in Christ shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ, first fruits. Remember, Christ, the first fruits. This is why we celebrate the resurrection. This is why it's called the Feast of First Fruits, okay? He is the first fruit, okay? So Christ, the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming, okay? Those, remember, the gathering, the resurrection. He's going to gather those that are dead and first in Christ. He's going to gather those. They're in the heaven. They're in that place, the good place, waiting for this day. They're there waiting. They're going to come first. If me and you die today believing in Yeshua, okay, we're going to go to that place. And we know we've had relatives that are believers that go to be with the Lord, right? Well, they're waiting. They're waiting just like we're waiting. They're waiting, okay, to be gathered on that day when he returns to earth. First, those that are there, and then those who remain alive, he will raise them up, okay? There will be, if you want to say, a rapture, okay? I don't like using that word. I like using gathering, but they will be caught up in the air with the Lord, with those that he brought first, those who are dead in Christ first, and he will gather us together. We'll receive our resurrected bodies. So much is going to happen on the Feast of Trumpets, okay? This is the first of the fall feast, okay? I can't wait to get there because it's going to be amazing, okay? It all ties in together. Afterward, those who are in Christ are at his coming, okay? So go over that scripture once again. And so now, here we go. This is a little calendar that I got. I added some things to it because it was just kind of plain. I got it. And so right here, it just has you the breakdown. We are on the solar lunar calendar. If you didn't catch that episode, it was the last episode where the Gregorian only goes on the sun. It goes based on the sun. There's an Islamic one that goes based only on the moon. Okay. But the Lord's calendar, remember, the Lord created the moon and the sun. He put all the stars in there for his times and seasons. He's the one that called. He's the one that invented time, okay? Time. He invented time. He invented weeks. He invented months, okay? He's the one that invented and created all these wonderful things for us. So we got to get on his calendar, okay? So it's based on the solar and the lunar. This is God's calendar, okay? So here it is here. And so we got the Gregorian in here, so you can kind of understand where we lay, right, where we're at on the Gregorian calendar. But in Nisan, right here, the Nisan, they say it's pronounced Nisan, okay? Some like saying Nissan because it got so famous because of the car, but there's only one S in here, okay? So it's not Nissan like the car, it's Nisan, okay? But yeah, it looks like Nissan, so you could say it either way. But it's Nisan. That's the month that the Passover happened. And it's still today. This is still valid. It's still valid. Get yourself a calendar, okay? So the 14th of Passover, it was his death and burial. It was his death, Passover. The 15th, which was the next night, okay, was he went into the grave. He died. So I put right here, death and burial. Death being the Passover, unleavened bread being the burial. He went into the tomb unleavened. And then the 16th, okay, was first fruits, okay? Or you could call it, if you want to call it resurrection, but it's called the first fruits. We just went over that. And so from that day right there, after when they found the tomb empty, that's the day when we start counting the Omer, okay? And we're going to get into scriptures. It's so amazing, man. It's so amazing. So the first fruits start from there. Day number 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? So counting of the Omer, 7 times 7 weeks. They say 7 Sabbaths. If you say 7 Sabbaths, how many are you saying? A Sabbath is 7 days. From 7 days, 7, it all ties in together. Creation, 7 days. The Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, 7 days. So 7 times 7, 7 Sabbath days, 7 Sabbath weeks. Is 49. Just do the math. It's 49. 7 times 7 is 49. This is also mentioned in the book of Daniel. 7 times 7, 7 times 70. Okay. So anyhow, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. We'll get there in the proper time because we are going to be going through what he spoke through his prophets concerning end times. Okay. So complete what I put here, 50 days. Okay. So we count the Omer and lo and behold, Pentecost happens in the month of Sivan, right here. In the month of Sivan, we got Pentecoste, okay? Shavuot is the name of that day, though. The God-given name is Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, which is in Leviticus chapter 23. It is a Moedim. It is a Moedim, okay? The Feast of Weeks, okay? It's in there. It's a divinely appointed, commanded feast day, okay? And lo and behold, why? This is why I'm going through this. Why? And why wouldn't you want to celebrate it today? It's Pentecost. We celebrate Shavuot. It was the leaving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God resides inside our hearts. It has to do with salvation. It has to do with the resurrection. And so all these first four, we still celebrate today on their appointed days. You can't just say, oh, the Lord died for our sins and that's it. We're not going to celebrate no more. No, we still celebrate these days, okay? Still, forever. Remember that. And so, on the dial, here we go. All the way up, we go through Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishri. So, this is a huge month. Because why do we celebrate? He fulfilled these to a T, the spring feast. Okay? He fulfilled them to a T. Don't you think he's going to fulfill his spoken, in Leviticus 23, spoken divinely appointed feast days, okay, which is his fall feast, there in Leviticus 23 too. Well, don't you think he's going to do this? He's going to return on the last trumpet, which is the Feast of Trumpets, okay, then atone for his people, okay? Remember, those who didn't believe, he's going to come. He's going to forgive them. The land of Israel, the believers that don't believe in Israel, nowhere else, the redemption of Israel, the one-third of Israelites that don't believe that when he comes back, he's going to cleanse them. He's going to put them through fire. This is in Zechariah chapter 14, I believe, 13 or 14. You can read this for yourself, I believe, okay, that it's those scriptures. So we'll get into that when we get into the fall feast. And then tabernacles, we're going to be celebrating tabernacles right into the millennial kingdom. And I also have scriptures for that too. Come the time, next episode, we're going to begin them. We're not going to probably go through all of them, but we're going to begin them, okay? And so I hope you understood that. So this is God's calendar here, all right? And this is just like a regular calendar, but it's in circular to show you that it's based on the lunar. Here it is, the moon right there, and the sun, the solar lunar, okay? And so we'll go to the next slide. This is just another, you can look at it on your own time. This is also a calendar, which actually details the names of all. You can go, it's the same as this calendar over here. It's the same thing, but it just has more details. It gives you the Passover unleavened bread right here in Nisan, okay? It gives you the Gregorian right here in the middle. And then you got Shavuot, Revelation. You go all the way down. You got the 40 days of Teshuvah. Okay, that's the Omer count. The Omer count is here. Okay, the counting of the Omer. There it is right there. The counting of the Omer right there. And then you go around the dial, and then we got Sukkot. This is tabernacles. This is Yom Teruah is another name. Rosh Hashanah is the new year. Is Rosh Hashanah. This is when we celebrate the new year. Remember the 5783. That's what we celebrate on Rosh Hashanah on the God's calendar. That's another year from Adam until now. And then Yom Teruah is just another name for Feast of Trumpets. Yom Teruah, that's the Hebrew name for it, Feast of Trumpets, okay? And then Yom Kippur is Day of Atonement. That's what Yom Kippur means. Don't get too confused. There's just the Hebrew names for these same feast days. And Sukkot is the Feast of Tabernacles. Sometimes they call it the Feast of Tents, okay? So we will be getting to that. And then it goes all the way around, and then we finish off over here in Purim. So just a blessing. Right now, I'll point it out. We're in Shavuot. We're right here on the dial, January, February. See that? We're in Shavuot. We just started the month of Shavuot right here, upper left-hand corner right here. If you can't see the mouse, upper left-hand corner right here, okay? And so we'll go ahead, check out that on your own. Go ahead and check it out for yourself right there. Okay. And then we'll go to the next slide. Okay. Okay. So now why? It says, okay, so now we will see what is the counting of the Omer. Okay. What is the counting of the Omer? And is it a commandment? Yes, it is. And why the importance of it, and why the importance of it, okay? So, is the counting of the Omer a commandment? That was the question. Yes, it is. And we're going to be reading you this commandment. As we approach Passover, and we could be speaking of right now, because that's what we're waiting for. In the spring, we're already entering into spring almost, out of winter. We're in winter. We're going to be heading into the spring. So we're waiting for Passover right now. We're about a month away, okay? About a month or so, 2 months away from Passover, okay? And so as we approach Passover, which was the death, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was the burial, we went over this. Some of the things we do are traditions. So there are some traditions, okay? But you don't really have to focus in on those traditions. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. We have a good time. But we focus in on his Moedim, on his appointed commanded feast days, okay? It says, some of the things we do are traditions as we approach Passover, okay? But not this one. It's not a tradition, okay? This is a command, okay? We went over this, Leviticus 23, 15 through 16. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. Remember, the day after the Sabbath, we went over this, first fruits, his resurrection. From the day when you brought in the sheaf, the omer, of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. Remember, seven times seven, 49 days. There shall be seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 when it's complete to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So the day when 49 ends, it completes that day ends. It completes the 49th day, day number 50, which is Pentecost, right? We went over that. you shall what? Present a new grain offering to the Lord. So it is commanded in Leviticus 23. Such a beautiful thing, because lo and behold, they were keeping this commandment. They were actually bringing in a sheaf offering, a grain offering, and counting off the days because it was commanded. Lo and behold, it came to pass. Now we see why, okay? And we're going to get to the scriptures. I told you I would, right? So, first, before that, what is an omer? You're probably saying, well, what is an omer? I don't know what an omer is. So I didn't either. I had to look it up, okay? It's not that hard. Google, you can find anything, right? What is an omer? Omer in the Strong's Concordance. Just be careful. When I say Google, just don't believe everything, okay? You got to go in the Bible, okay? You got to make sure it's backed up by scripture. So I'll retract that, okay? So don't just believe any YouTube series like I'm bringing you right now. You got to research the Bible, test the scriptures, okay? Be Bereans, okay? Because there's some wacky, crazy stuff on YouTube. I'm telling you. That's why you got to learn your Bible. Don't believe me. Go all these scriptures that I'm showing you. Go over this and say, you know what? I don't want you to believe me. I want you to go into the scriptures yourself. Look for yourself. Study the scriptures. And then you're going to say, wow, wait a minute. It does say that. Okay. It does make sense because it is the truth. I wouldn't stir you wrong. Okay. I would not stir you wrong. So don't just Google things, but I got a dictionary definition of an omer. Okay. And actually it's in the Strong Concordance. H6016 is where you can find it in the Strong's Concordance. And it's just the Hebrew word for sheaf. And then you're like, okay, what is a sheaf? Not chief, okay? Not the Kansas City Chiefs, okay? A sheaf, okay? Even though they're awesome, right? Go Chiefs. So, and what is a sheaf? Sheaf offering. In the Bible, a sheaf of grain is a small quantity of grain, usually wheat or barley. Remember, the barley harvest, the wheat harvest. This was an actual great month for them. Shavuot, don't you? If you look outside and as we enter spring, you're going to notice everything is green. Everything is blossoming. All the flowers in spring, they start blossoming. The harvest, if you live by wheat or any kind of grain, they start springing up out of the earth. If you plant vegetables or whatever, trees, they just start, the fruit starts coming out of them. It's life. The seed, we represent the seed. Seeds of God make things alive. Amen. The harvest, okay, planting the seeds. We are all seeds, and the word of God is the seed that is good seed, and it grows, it's fruition, so you can see the harvest, and it just springs up. That's the same thing with the seeds of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. It's living. That's why he gives us spirits, the word of God. The spirit comes inside of us, and it starts to grow. It starts to flourish, okay? If you want to look at it like this. So he's always made these analogies about the seeds and the harvest, the good seed and the bad seed, the evil seed, the good seed, okay? So he wants us to plant his word, his proclaimed word, his commandments as a beautiful seed, as a righteous seed, so that it will grow, okay? Just like in the lineage, the seed of Abraham, okay, all the way until now, the promised one came, the Messiah. And so this is good seed, amen? And then it fills up the kingdom. It fills up the kingdom, okay? This is why we got to proclaim the gospel. And so a sheaf of grain offering may be used as an example of a harvest, or a unit of measure. That's what a sheaf is, okay? All right. And so Leviticus 23:10 through 11, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf, the omer of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf omer before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Amen. So we got a high priest. Remember, we don't got a Levitical priest anymore. It was not their fault. It did its purpose. I want you to understand this. The priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, Aaron, and all the line of priests, that system, that priestly system is no longer there because we have our high priest now. Okay, but it doesn't mean that it was broken. It did its job. Remember, God is perfect. It was temporary until he became high priest. The laws of God, the commandments of God did not change. Okay? He says it himself. Yeshua says it in Matthew chapter 5, 18, 7, I believe it's 8, Matthew 5, 18 through 19, I believe. Okay? He didn't come to abolish the law of the prophets. He came to teach them, to fulfill them, to teach them, not until they set out to accomplish what they are to accomplish. And that is to the new heavens and the new earth, which is after the 1,000-year millennial reign here on earth. Okay? And so it's always by his rules, his standards, his laws. Okay? So the Levitical priesthood is no more. We don't have a temple no more. Yes. So, but we still could celebrate his feast days. Okay? Being that's why I'm bringing you this. What are they about? Of course we could celebrate them because they all have to do with Yeshua. They all have to do with Jesus Christ. They were prophesied. And so this is why we celebrate them still. And this is why they are very much still in order. Okay, so the priesthood are the ones that fell short because he knew this. He knew they weren't perfect, but it did its job. Okay, remember, sacrifice for their sins, the sacrificial system. Meanwhile, the blood had to be spilt. We can go into this, but the blood had to be spilt. There had to be an annual atonement for sins. Okay, so until he came, and he came, but it didn't stop his commandments. Okay, he became our high priest. We don't sacrifice, but there will be a priesthood, a kingdom, a temple once again. And that's not only the temple that's going to be rebuilt before he comes, the one that the Antichrist goes into and he actually desecrates it, not that temple. His temple will be cleansed when he returns back to this earth and he establishes his kingdom and he sets up his new temple and cleanses it, okay? His kingdom here on earth. And there will be a priesthood, a royal priesthood, me and you, if we're able to get there, we run our race, we follow and be obedient as we could, we will become that royal priesthood in the millennial kingdom. Okay, so this is what we want to strive for. This is why we are obedient. He's like, we're being tested right now. And if we want to hear good and faithful servant and become one of them royal priests in his kingdom, okay, because he will establish his ways again. And I could go into that more deeply, but that's just what I'm just going to leave it there because I don't want to go more deep. This is supposed to be just on the surface, but we do want to become a part of his royal priesthood. Okay. And so his laws, his ways were perfect. The priesthood was perfect. It did its job until he came. Okay. So amen and amen. Leviticus 23:10 through 11. Check it out for yourself. We're talking about the Omer, okay? What happened during the commanded counting of the Omer? Why is it so special? Day 1 through 50. And why is it so important, okay? You're like, come on, this is absolutely amazing, okay? Here's the scriptures, okay? What happened during the commanded counting of the Omer? What happened when he returned, when he came and died for our sins, okay? What happened, okay? Why is it so important, and why do we still do it? We count the Omer today because it's a commandment, but we reflect on what happened during those 40 days. You got to reflect on this. He just didn't go and be at the right hand of the Father, like I said earlier. He showed himself to many. He proved that he was alive, that he died on that cross. The tomb was empty. He rose, but he didn't stop there. Imagine, just, and then I'll continue right here. Imagine if he would have just rose from the grave. The tomb was empty, and he went to be with the Father. That's it. Just like normally, we celebrate resurrection. That's it. We don't count the Omer. Okay? So it's like saying he went directly to the Father. Then he would have never left his Holy Spirit. We never would have. They would have thought, oh, he was just a criminal that died on the cross. He was a fake. Because the tomb would have been empty. He wouldn't have shown himself to anyone. He wouldn't have proved that he resurrected. Okay, if he would have went straight to the Father, but he stuck around for a while. And this is what happened within those days, which was the counting of the Omer. Okay, hopefully this resonates with you. Okay, so we still count the Omer. So a checklist here. Okay, a checklist. Okay, foretold, prophesied, and fulfilled. Foretold and fulfilled. Number one, the Sabbath, of course. He created all things in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Creation, check mark. Okay, foretold and fulfilled. The Passover, his death, crucifixion, came to pass. That's the first feast, right? Check mark, fulfilled. Unleavened bread, burial, check mark, fulfilled. Four, first fruits, resurrection. Check mark, he resurrected, fulfilled. Counting of the Omer, commandment. Remember, commandment. It's also in Leviticus 23. Check mark, fulfilled. He showed himself to many, right? And then to Shavuot, the Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, right? The Feast of Weeks, okay? Check mark, fulfilled. All to the T on every single one of these holy days, commanded to the T, okay? You don't think he's going to fulfill his fall feast? You better believe it. You better believe he is, okay? And they're written in Leviticus 23. And so there is 7 holy feast days in total and only 3 more to be fulfilled. And this is our blessed hope. This is our blessed hope. This is why we say, Bo Yeshua, Bo, come, Lord Jesus, come. He gets rid of Satan, all the unclean spirits. He bounds them away for 1,000 years. He restores all things back to Eden. Come on, the kingdom here on earth, new resurrected bodies, no more pain, no more suffering. It's just going to be amazing. Amen. And we're going to be able to be royal priests and help out in his kingdom. It's going to be literal, okay? What a blessing. So there are 7 holy feast days in total and only 3 more to be fulfilled, which are the fall feast, his glorious return. There's a little bit of more funny artwork there, digital artwork there. The first of the fall feast is the Feast of Trumpets. The second, the Day of Atonement. And the third is the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? Next episode, okay? So be stay tuned for that, okay? We got plenty of scriptures, though. I'm not ending this yet, okay? So there's the white horse. Remember, he comes back on a white horse. But you notice he's not on it no more. He's not on it no more, right? So I got more teaching in depth with that, okay? He comes in the clouds. And just to leave you hanging a little bit, there is a vehicle that he has, okay? And it's in the book of Ezekiel, okay? Yes, Ezekiel or Elijah? No, Ezekiel. So anyhow, there is a vehicle. I'll leave it with that. I got some things for you, okay? So, but one of the times, he comes on a horse, right? But he's not on his horse no more. He's actually standing right there off his horse. I should have put a bunch of believers behind him here. I was going to do that because he comes with us. And he leads us into his kingdom, okay? But I couldn't really fit a bunch of believers all the way in the background here. But maybe I'll work on it, okay? Because he does lead us in a holy procession into Jerusalem. He doesn't just come down on Mount Sinai, the Mount of Olives. His feet don't just come down out of heaven. No, he starts from Egypt, the Exodus. Okay. Now, what happened? This is the question. What happened? Why is it so important to count the Omer, okay? The commandment of counting the Omer, okay? Which came to pass, okay? Like I said earlier, what happened during the commanded counting of the Omer? Now we can look back. And like I said earlier, now we can look back and see why. Why, okay? Why is it so important? Why was it so important? important, okay? It came to pass, and I'm going to bring you those scriptures now, okay? So I put here what happened during the commanded counting of the Omer, day 1 through 50, and why is it so important, okay? And so give me a second here. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 through 9. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive. This is Paul writing this, right? So when he was writing this, most of them were still alive. Out of those 500 followers, at one time he showed himself. So this is what was happening during the Omer count, okay? And so it says most of them are, who are still alive, though some have died, okay? Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I, Paul, okay, had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. And so remember, he was one of those Pharisees that were rounding them up, okay? He was there and he witnessed the death of Stephen, which is the first recorded martyr that followed Yeshua, that followed the Lord's ways, his commandments, his Torah, okay? Remember, his Torah is not heavy. It's not burdensome. He followed his instructions the way they were supposed to be lived out, not like the Pharisees were adding to them or subtracting. Stephen, he died, okay? And Paul was there before his conversion. Paul witnessed it. And he was rounding up the believers of Yeshua, the ones that followed Yeshua. And so he was very humble after this because he said he wasn't even counted worthy to be called one of the apostles, okay? So in verse 9, once again, it says, "For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church." Amen? And so the resurrection, you could also find this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 through 10, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, John chapter 20, 1 through 9. This is beautiful right here. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, suddenly two men in radiant apparel stood beside them. As the women bowed their faces to the ground in terror, the two men asked them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." So this is very beautiful because the women went there to actually anoint him and just go and check up on him, right? And so the angels appeared to them. These were two angels. And he told them, don't you remember he told you these things? And for some reason, whatever reason being, that they did not remember, but they didn't remember. But then they did. Okay, so the women were told by Jesus himself that this would happen, okay? Just remarkable. And so it says in verse 8, then they remembered his words. And when they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and all the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But their words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. So they still couldn't believe. They didn't believe the women. They didn't understand, okay? So in verse 12, Peter, though, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And after bending down and seeing only the linen cloths, he went away, wondering to himself what had happened, okay? So even Peter was like wondering what's going on, okay? It wasn't resonating. It wasn't sinking in. Maybe it was racing through his mind. Maybe they stole the body. What's going on here? This is impossible, almost like, right? And so this is why we count the Omer. This is what was going on in those period of days, okay? And so if he would have resurrected before I start this scripture, and he would have went straight to the Father after he resurrected, then what would have happened? They would have actually thought the body was stolen. He would have never testified. They would have thought he was just, the body has disappeared, that's it. No, but there's a reason why he commanded the Omer to be counted, because this is what was going to happen between those days, okay? And so this is why they did what they were instructed to do by counting the Omer, okay? And so here's the next scripture here. On the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24. 13 through 27. This is so cool. Why is it so cool? Because I used to joke around, right? I'm like, you know, Jesus, Yeshua, he had a sense of humor, because he hid his vision from these two that were walking along the way, right? And they didn't recognize him. And you could just imagine, this is kind of funny. When I read it one time, I kind of jokingly made a joke of this, but it's very serious. But I made a joke because it's like, he was alive. He was alive, and he was walking with them. They didn't recognize him, but he was walking along. Okay, he was walking with them, right? And then he says, hey, what's going on? What's happening? He says, don't you know? Are you the only person? I'm paraphrasing. We're going to read the scripture right now. He says, are you the only person that don't know what's going on? Our Lord, our Messiah just got crucified, you know? And then he says, oh my God. It's like, so he was walking along asking them, plain dumb, right? So it's just a kind of a humor by the Lord, because we know he's alive. He still remains alive. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read you this scripture. It says, it's called On the Road to Emmaus. Okay. Luke chapter 24, 13 through 27. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had to happen. Oh, about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? He said, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. And here's that, this verse is where we picked up in the last verse we read, right? About Mary Magdalene and the women. Verse 22 says, moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels, because they did, right? The two angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, empty, right? But him they did not see. Verse 25, and he said to them, oh, foolish ones. That's when he broke down. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He interpreted the scriptures. He opened up the scriptures and he says, this is me. This was me that the prophet spoke about, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the one that's going to crush the head of the enemy, and he's going to bruise his heel, okay? Genesis 3, 15. This was me. He started opening up the scriptures to them and giving them understanding that the Torah and the prophets, it was all about him. It was him on Mount Sinai. He's the king of the universe. He is alive. He's always been the king of the universe. He's always been creator of all things. Remember, him and the Father are one, and the Holy Spirit, they are one, okay? He's always been there. And so he opened up this truth to them. He opened up the scriptures, and he interpreted the scriptures concerning himself. He's like, hello, this is me. Don't you understand yet? This is me, and this is what I'm telling you today. You got to understand this. It's all in the Torah, the prophets, and he confirmed it when he walked with them. He confirmed it. This is where he confirms it. He says, that is me. Every Shabbat that you've been attending, every time the prophets, they read from the prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, all of them, that's me they're talking about. He says, that's me. This is why the Torah, the instructions, the basic instructions before leaving earth are so very important. And we got other scriptures for you right now. Amen. So he shows himself again. This is Yeshua, appears by the Sea of Tiberias. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, okay, appears by the Sea of Tiberias. Later by the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus again revealed himself to the disciples. He made himself known in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, I'm going to go fishing. We will all go with you, they said. So they went out and got into the boat, but caught nothing that night. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, right? So they're in the boat. He's on the shore. He just stood there, right? I love this. But the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He did the same thing, or maybe they're kind of far away from him, right? So he called out to them. You could just imagine, Jesus was on the shore. They were in the boat. They're trying to catch fish. This was another scene from before, remember? And so he says, he called out to them, children. I love that. I love that. He called out to them, children. Him and the Father are one. Do you understand the statement he made here? Children. Him and the Father are one. He calls them their children. He's the Father. Him and the Father are one. This is so profound. He calls out to them from the shore, children, do you have any fish? So he says, do you have any fish? No, they answered. He told them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it there, and they were unable to haul it in because of the great number of fish. In other words, he did this before, right? And he did it again, right? He says, go ahead, throw it on the right side, right? And so then the disciple whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came ashore in the boat. Peter says, I'm jumping into the water. I'm not waiting. I'm going to go. I'm going to swim. He was so excited. You could just see the excitement. You could just read it. Okay, just visualize this. He jumped out of the boat. He says, no, my Lord. And he ran into the water. He started swimming to shore. And so it says right here, the other disciples came ashore in the boat. They dragged in the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it. The Lord started a fire so he could cook. right? They saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it. How humble is this? And some bread to eat. Jesus told them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Amazing miracle. Come, have breakfast, Jesus said to them. Imagine this. The King of the universe, creator of all things, says, come and have breakfast. He serves them. He serves them food. He cooks food for them. The King of the universe, the Savior, our Savior, humble, cooks for them breakfast. Come and have breakfast, he said. Jesus said to them, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. He served them. And he did the same with the fish. This should be our heart, okay? This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This was the third time, okay? So this is what was going on during the count of the Omer, okay? Amen? Praise the Lord. And I got more scripture for you in John 16, 5 through 11. But now I'm going away, he tells them. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world, Satan, spirit of lawlessness, this is what I added, that emphasis added, the ruler of this world, Satan, and the spirit of lawless or the lawless one has already been judged, okay? It's already been written what he's going to do when he returns, okay? And so, very powerful statement, but what is he saying here? It says, but now I am going away. So he stood around for those 40 days, 49 in completeness till Shavuot. Remember, that's when the Spirit was poured out. Okay, we got that scripture for you in Acts. Okay, and so he says, but now I'm going away. This is when he was going to go sit at the right hand of the Father. He was getting prepared to leave. Okay, and they were actually very grievous. And they were like, no, like they didn't want him to go. But he says, if I don't go, I can't leave you the Helper. These things need to take place. In other words, also, we read scripture where the Lord is the Holy Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit, and he comes and resides inside of us, okay? And so it says right here that they were grievous. It says, instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you. Other renderings say advocate. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness. So it's the Spirit that does this, right? And out of the coming judgment, we know the Lord is the Spirit. So go over that scripture once again. And so the next scripture I got, the Holy Spirit comes, right? This is Shavuot. This is what the feast day, the festival, or the festival of weeks was all about, Shavuot, Pentecost, okay? This is when he left it. This is when the Holy Spirit came. In Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, it says, on the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And so this is when the Holy Spirit came, the day of Shavuot, okay? You can read this in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, Pentecost, Shavuot. And so this came to pass. Amazing. And this began the new covenant. And you're like saying, no, the new covenant won't come until he returns. No, it started, but it will come into fruition upon his return. Okay. I went through this earlier. Okay. And so this was established. This was the thing that was so glorious, different. The law still in place. The instructions still valid, still in place. Yeshua said he didn't come to abolish the law, right? Or his instructions or his commandments, right? Until they accomplish what they do. And that's after the millennial kingdom. But this was amazing because it began. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us. And we're going to be getting more into this in detail about the beginning of the Holy, the beginning of the new covenant, okay? But I do got that scripture for you next, okay? So this was amazing. We will also be doing why the languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability and began speaking in languages so they understood each other, okay? In other episodes, we will be getting into this, okay? We'll be focusing in on this, okay? So, amazing. Pentecost came to pass. These episodes are allowing you to know why the holy feast days, why the appointed holy feast days of our Lord, they came to pass. This was the last one that came to pass. And now we're waiting, what? For the fall feast, okay? So here's that scripture I was telling you about Shavuot, Pentecost, was the beginning of the new covenant, the beginning, okay, of the new covenant to fully be fulfilled at his return, the Feast of Trumpets. Once again, Pentecost was the beginning of the new covenant to fully be fulfilled at his return, the Feast of Trumpets. Remember, we have been atoned for. I'm just going to briefly say this. We have been atoned for. We have received the Holy Spirit because of this. We have been grafted in. Okay, so we receive his Holy Spirit in our heart. He gives us understanding of his Torah, of his instructions, his commandments, about all the scriptures being about him, all the holy days, his feast days, being about him, our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, all of them in the Torah and all the prophets being about him. When the Holy Spirit enters our hearts, he gives us understanding of his instructions, his Torah, okay? And so this is going to happen when he returns to his beloved Israel, those who are in the land, those Israelites that still don't believe in him as Messiah. They will recognize him after they are given the Holy Spirit and the scriptures are opened up to them, just like the two on the road to Emmaus. He opened up the scriptures and he interpreted them to them. He said, this was all about me. Well, he's going to do this to his remnant when he returns. That's going to be the completion of the new covenant. He's going to place his Holy Spirit in their hearts, just like it is written in Ezekiel and also in Jeremiah and other scriptures, okay? Isaiah, I believe. And so I'll bring you those scriptures in future episodes, okay? But that's when it's fully going to come into fruition, the new covenant, okay? But it began already, okay? You can check this out for yourself. In 2 Corinthians, this is text that proves it, okay? 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 14 through 18. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Torah, when they read the Old Testament, the same veil remains unlifted. Because only through Christ Jesus or Christ Yeshua is it taken away. The veil is removed. Excuse me. Verse 15. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. And this goes out to churches today. That veil must be removed off your heart and your eyes so you can understand what he gave those two on the road to Emmaus, he gave them understanding. He removed the veil through the power of his Holy Spirit, because only through Christ Yeshua is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, remember Torah, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed and they understand. One understands, okay? So this is the paradigm shift. This is the paradigm shift that happens in a believer's life. It should. And if it hasn't, I recommend that you pray that the Lord removes that veil so you understand the scriptures. Verse 16, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And here it is. Now, verse 17, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to what? Do whatever you please? No, God forbid. Freedom to obey his commandments. Remember, he reveals Torah to us, his instructions. Verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So this is confirming once again that him and the Father are one. Him and the Spirit are one. Him, the Father, and the Spirit are one. Okay? This is confirmation here. So I want you to read that over on your own time. Go through it slowly, but just read it. Okay? I'm going to read it one more time. We'll go on to the next scripture. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Testament, when they read the Torah, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ Jesus or Yeshua is it taken away, only believing in Jesus. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen and amen. Now, last but not least, John chapter 21, verse 25. There are many more things that Yeshua did. If all of them were written down, I suppose that not even the world itself would have space for the books that would be written. One more time. There are many more things that Yeshua did. If all of them were written down, I suppose that not even the world itself would have space for the books that would be written. Amen, amen, and amen. So that's John 21, 25. And so now, that was last but not least, but I think that probably was the last. I just want to tell you, stay tuned for next week as we dive into why the commanded, prophesied, divine appointed fall feast of our Lord. Okay. And so I hope you enjoyed this episode. I got a little sore throat. So maybe I got a sore throat, but thank the Lord that he got me through this. Okay. And so stay tuned next week. Okay. We're going to be going over this, and stay tuned for most episodes coming up. They're going to be really good, every one, because why are they going to be really good? Not because of me, it's because the word of the Lord is good. He's the only one that is good. Amen. And all his scriptures are amazing. I hope this blessed you. Okay. So once again, stay tuned to next week as we dive into why the commanded, prophesied, divine appointed fall feast of our Lord. Amen. So I'll see you in the next episode. But before that, what do we say? Oh, wait a minute. Get ready for the next episode. We start the fall feast, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, which is Sukkot. Okay, so now, what do we say? What do we say? Amen and amen and Maranatha. Bo, Yeshua, Bo. Amen and amen. Okay, thank you once again for joining. I'll see you on the next episode of Finally Following God's Law. Remember, goodbye for now, but never forever.